Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to another broadcast of the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. Praise God. We're so glad you're joining us today. I have a question for you. Are you tired of trying to find a company that has Christian values as the basis of everything it does? I mean, if you're a podcaster or an online radio host, a manager, owner, a pastor that's got a radio broadcast, you know, it's hard to find a company that you can trust and can support with your business, knowing that it's totally Christian values and its basic concepts. You know, iTunes has strict content guidelines, which they follow. Why shouldn't you have strict content guidelines and what you're trying to do with your online media messages? I mean, if you violate one of iTunes' guidelines, you could lose access to iTunes for your program. Wouldn't it be great if you could find a podcast support system that you could trust 100% of the time according to Christian values and guidelines? Well, you're in luck. Today's guest has formed a company that does just that. Right up front, Kerry Green says his company's not for everyone. I mean, they have a strict policy in place that puts God first in everything they do. So if that offends some people, well, he tells them that they might not be a good fit. That does not mean everyone has to conform to their version of a moral compass. It does mean every client has to hold the same standards and beliefs that they share. It does mean that if a client is drastically out of line with their moral compass, they'll just decide not to work with them. And isn't that the way business should be? Help me welcome to the program the founder of Podcast Fast Track, Kerry Green. Kerry, it is a pleasure to have you on the program today.
Well, I sure appreciate that little run-up to me saying something here, Robert. That is quite encouraging to see that you understand what we're all about. And, you know, as Amen. Believers, that should be what we're all about.
Amen. Absolutely. I was looking at this. I'm like, man, this guy is spot on in everything I'm reading so far. I mean, you're awesome. Now, give us the background. The first question I always ask our guests, I always start with this question first. Tell us in your own words, who is Kerry Green?
Yeah, well, I'm a child of the King, first of all. That's Amen. What matters most. I was brought into the Christian faith when I was 5 years old. My mother led me to faith in our old Fundamental Baptist King James only church when I was five, down at the altar on a Sunday night. So it was Amen. One of those very traditional sort of conversions. And I don't remember this, but my mother tells the story of the next day, that was Monday, in my kindergarten class, our teacher asked if any of us had learned anything over the weekend. And the way my mother tells the story, I shot up my hand and the teacher asked, what did you learn over the weekend? And I started singing, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And, you know, like I said, I don't remember that, but it makes for a cute story, doesn't it?
Amen. Sure does. Today you'd be sent to the principal's office.
Oh, probably so. I'd be sent home like I was wearing an outrageous T-shirt or something.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, I grew up in a home where I usually refer to it as partly Christian, meaning my mother was a believer, my father wasn't. Mm-hmm. And to this day, my dad is 94 years old and still is not a believer. So please pray for him if you're listening.
Yeah. Amen.
He's very much in need of the Lord, and. You know, I grew up in a good home, grew up with brother who lived with me as well, 2 years older, and then some older siblings who were already out of the house. And when I got into my adult life, I married, felt a call to be a pastor, Amen. And actually served as a pastor for 20 years, and then just felt that calling was gone, like the Lord had just removed it, Man. And it was time to do something else. So I, long story short, had to figure out how to put food on the table. And Podcast Fast Track is the end result of what came of that.
Amen. Now, you were a pastor for 20 years before launching out in this business. How did you come to deciding this was your journey, your personal journey, and that this is what you wanted to do?
Well, my conviction about church leaders is that they should be all in when it comes to leading the people that they're commissioned to shepherd.
Amen.
And I just came to a point where the passion for shepherding a larger group of people was diminishing, and I couldn't explain it. And so that all just kind of waned to the point that I felt like, you know, my heart is not in this to the point it should be. Mm. It would be wrong for me to keep taking a paycheck and keep trying to lead a group of people who really don't have a pastor whose heart is in it.
Yeah.
And so I gave the elders of the church some notice. I think it was 3 to 4 months notice. And they started looking, and I started getting things arranged for my departure. Mm. And stepped out kind of into the unknown. And I remember telling my wife, I'm not really qualified to do anything else. You know, all my upper education was in theology and ministry. So
yeah.
The day came when I finally was out of savings and had to figure out what to do, and went looking for jobs in our little town where we live. And there was just nothing that could support my family adequately. And so having some conversations with some people I was working with online and things like that, it just kind of came to light that I could do this podcast editing business full-time and perhaps be able to develop a business from it, because I was running my own podcast at the time and knew mm-hmm. the pain that was behind the production and the time that it takes. And it just snowballed from there. You know, one client turned into three, and three turned into six, and mm-hmm. seven turned into 14. And then I had to bring my oldest son on to help me. You know, it just snowballed.
Yeah. Amen. And, you know, I can understand what you're talking about, the time commitment in these podcasts. I mean, we do, you know, this say half hour program, and it takes about an hour to do all the editing and, you know, getting the show notes and all that. So it's, you know, whatever time, if it's a 15-minute podcast, you're going to be working 45 minutes, you know, on it. I've just found that's the case. Whatever, if we do a one-hour interview today, it's going to be 2.5 to 3 hours for me to get everything done. So
yeah, that's absolutely true. And you're probably being a little conservative on that because you're kind of skilled at it by now.
But especially when I first started, it was longer, that's for sure.
Yeah, especially for people who are just starting out, or people who are wiser to use their time in better ways. They just need someone who can take that off their plate.
Yeah, amen, amen. Now, you try also to help your clients use their podcast to build a side income or even a full-time income, is what I was reading, in order to basically change the world and, more importantly, to impact the kingdom of God. Tell us how you're trying to accomplish that, or how you help them to do that.
Yeah, well, what you're referring to is a website and a ministry that I've created called Live, Build, Change. And you can find that at livebuildchange.com. And it's aimed at helping people, first of all, live their faith authentically.
Yeah.
I think that's the foundation for everything. We can say a lot of Christian words, but if we're not living it out, it's having no impact at all. Yeah. And so then the building the business part is either helping them develop side income or an ongoing business that might take over their full-time income, so that they can integrate those two together to change the world. And practically speaking, what that means to me is Christian people who see their money as God's money and are willing to give, to fund, to do things with that money that will actually move the kingdom forward. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily do that overtly through the podcast business. That's a separate entity. But if I do have a Christian client, and I have a handful of them who are aiming in that direction, man, I'm the guy for them. I can just jump right on. I don't have to miss a step in understanding what they're trying to accomplish. Mm-hmm. And we can pull that off together.
Amen. So with the podcast editing business, what can you, how can I phrase this? A lot of our listeners that are pastors of churches are struggling with understanding, you know, the Facebook and the Twitter and Instagram and social media marketing and things like that. How can you help them? What is it that you do that can free up their time, but yet teach them how to do these things skillfully?
Yeah, well, I think the first thing I would say is that with every client who comes on as a monthly client with us, I don't know, it's kind of a gross way to say it, but we kind of vomit out free consulting all the time. We see best practices and worst practices among the 50-plus clients that we're serving right now, plus the ones that we've served in the past. And so we're happy to tell our clients what we're seeing and what's working and what's not working. So we help our clients, even if they're not really looking for solutions. We help them understand what's going on in the social media and internet world so that they can be more effective at what they do. When it comes to social media, it's kind of interesting. I think maybe as pastors who are podcasting, they may want to think of it this way. The gospel never changes, but the world does.
Amen.
And the way that the world is changing is moving toward digital.
Yeah.
People are listening to most of their entertainment online, whether that's Netflix or podcasts. They are interacting with people more and more online, and we can either try to stick our finger in the dike and hold back the flood that's coming, or we can get in our boat and ride that flood and take the kingdom message with us.
Yeah.
And so for me, social media is one of those things. I've just had to figure it out. I've had to learn it, even though there's aspects of it I don't really care for, and I see how it can be abused. But the same is true of radio. The same is true of TV. The same is true of the telephone. It can be abused. Our goal as believers is to redeem the time and to use those avenues of media promotion and connection with people, because there is a real person on the other side of every social media interaction. We're to use those things to really take the kingdom message out there.
And when you're talking about there's another person on the other end of the social media interaction, that is probably, I would say, one of the hardest things for them to comprehend. I mean, they're used to having people come in to the church. Usually the new visitors, you know, they'll sit at the very last pew so they can escape, you know. And the pastor is up there, and I know this because, you know, you've been the pastor as well. You see these new people come in, you know, and you're trying to make eye contact to give them some encouragement, but at the same time, you don't want to give them eye contact, you know, you don't want to talk, and if you don't do this, you're going to hell, and you're looking right at the guy, you know, you don't want to do that. But, you can't do that on social media. You do not have that interpersonal action, you know, eye contact. Are they frowning? Are they yawning? You know, are they crossing their arms? You know, they're not accepting everything. You don't see any of that. So how can the local pastor get a grasp on whether or not their messages are actually making an impact?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. I think that one of the things we have to realize about social media is that it's even a little more extreme than what you described. When people come into a church, they kind of expect that someone is going to say religious things to them. They kind of expect someone's going to even indirectly call into question some of the things that they hold dear, because that's right. What happens in a religious context, whether it's, you know, an evangelical church or not. When you come to social media, people are not on social media looking for that. So to waylay them with your first interaction being a "you're going to hell" message is putting them off right away. You know, I do believe the gospel message is offensive. Paul is very clear about that. But we as messengers are not to be offensive. We are to be concerned about the person on the other end. And it's kind of interesting. There's a little crossover here between good principles of evangelism and good principles of business. Mm-hmm. In the business community, they often talk about building the know, like, and trust element.
Yeah. Yep.
And what it means is people have to know you and then come to like you before they will trust you.
Yeah.
Enough to buy something from you. That's the business side. Well, how much more does that apply to the gospel message? People have to get to know you on social media. They have to see that you really care about them. You're not just interested in a conversion notch on your belt. They have to come to a point that they like you. They enjoy your interaction. You're funny. You're witty. You're transparent. You know, all the things that you really are, they need to see. And then they may come to the point that they're able to trust you enough to really ask your advice or listen to what you have to say about the deeper things. Now, I realize God is sovereign, and there's definitely situations that come up where it progresses much faster than that and not according to that path. But I'm telling you, that's the exception, not the rule.
Yeah, when they are charting the course, I guess you could say, for their social media activities concerning their ministry. And that's, you know, pastor, evangelist, teacher, you know, just, you know, someone that has a podcast or just a Facebook page concerned in ministry, they should begin with the end result in mind, which is, am I trying to impact a community? Am I trying to impact the world? Which, you know, it's a pretty big elephant to take a bite out of. But what is it they are trying to do? Is it just church promotion? Is it you're trying to promote, like you talk, we'll get into here in a second, about the side hustle that will generate some extra income for the ministry or for you personally? They have to know what their purpose is. Just like in opening a church, are you opening the church just so you have somewhere to go preach, or are you opening the church to try and impact the community? I mean, what's the purpose in opening a church, or just go join one that's already doing something? You know, how do you guide them along that line as far as determining what their end result is?
Well, I think ultimately that's between them and God. You know, God has got a calling on each of our lives, and I think one of the funny things about this is, especially in the Western world, America maybe is the worst at this.
Yeah.
We get this idea that our calling, quote unquote, is this massive, big, overarching, gonna change the entire world sort of thing.
Yeah.
But the more that I read the New Testament, the more I hear Paul and other writers saying things like, make it your ambition to live a quiet life, to demonstrate by your behavior the purity of your faith and in your faith in the Lord Jesus. And so I think our calling many times is maybe on a much smaller scale than we think, but it's happening through authenticity. It's happening through genuine love for people. It's happening through interaction. So that end result that you're aiming for always comes from the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then the second greatest commandment, love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
And so if we're aimed at doing that through all of our social media interactions, you know, instead of being snarky, if we're aimed at doing that through everything we publish, instead of waxing eloquent and showing people how big of a great speaker we are, then we're keeping the right focus in mind. There's another person on the other end of this interaction, and I want to love them well. That's really what we're aiming at.
Amen. Amen. And that's the hard part when, especially if you're doing a podcast, is understanding there's someone on the other end of this microphone. I mean, when I first started, we talked offline how I got involved in podcasting, what we call today podcasting. The hardest part for me after, you know, being, you know, speaking in churches and stuff for 10, 15 years by that time, was to talk to the computer, to the microphone, as if I was talking to a congregation, you know, packed to the walls, you know, door to door with people listening. And to help me do that, what I did, I got a picture of a crowd, like from the stage, and put it in an 8x10 picture and hung it directly behind my computer monitor. So as I'm speaking to that crowd. Now I can speak into the microphone, and, you know, my wife, I have a Sunday morning live broadcast. It's from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern time on Evangelism Radio. And she listens to it in the kitchen while she's getting ready to go to church. Once we're done with that, we go to church. And she's like, it sounds like you're preaching in front of, you know, 500 people. But that's, I can now visualize, because that's what I'm doing. Our podcast and the radio station, it reaches that many people. But for a pastor just starting out with a podcast, the hardest thing I think for them to do when they're doing this is understanding that, as you said, there's somebody on the other end listening to what they're saying.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
And how I just shared how I overcame that, and over the period of about 6-7 months or so, it became better. How do you tell your clients to embrace the people on the other end of the microphone?
Yeah, I think your idea of the picture is great. And my idea, what I tend to default to, perhaps could be changed into the same thing that you just described. I tend to think of the people I know personally who fall into the category that I'm speaking to. So, for example, if I were a pastor doing a discipleship-oriented message, I would have in mind particular people in my church congregation who I know are struggling with different types of things or experiencing different seasons of life. And to aim that toward your approach, maybe I could even covertly shoot a picture of them with my phone on a Sunday morning and put their pictures on the wall behind my computer so that I'm reminding myself visually as I'm speaking, this is the kind of people I'm speaking to. For businesses, they call that an avatar. It's the person you're aimed at helping and who you're uniquely gifted to help. And I think you're exactly right, Robert. We've got to figure out how to speak to the real person on the other end, because as long as we see this as ourselves sitting in our room in our home just talking into a microphone, I think we're just adding to the noise.
Yeah.
We're not really investing ourselves in communicating a message to real people for whom Christ died. And that's really what we've got to be about.
Yep. And you can hear the difference in different radio programs or podcast programs about what we were just talking about. Someone who's like, you know, hello, you know, anybody on? You know, can anybody hear me? I can't hear myself in my mic in my headphones. I don't know. You know, I mean, and you're like, where did this guy come from?
You know? Yeah, yeah.
So, but yeah, I want to shift gears a little bit because I want to touch base on what you said was your other website. And at the end, so we talked about the podcast Fast Track. Now we're going to shift to the live, build, and change.
Yes.
And then in the end, I want to integrate them back together again.
Sure.
Okay. All right. So from your guidelines, from what I understand, to live, build, and change, just tell us what that means and give us a sense of how you accomplish that for your clients.
Yeah, well, live, build, and change are the words I chose just because they are simple ways to describe what it is I'm aiming at. It's a three-pronged approach. And they're put in that particular sequence because they have to be done in that sequence. The first one I referred to earlier, we need to learn as believers how to live our faith in an authentic, genuine way. It's not about keeping rules. It's not about going to church, although, you know, rules in church are not bad things in and of themselves. But too much of the time, our evangelical mindset tells us those are the things that are important. But it's really about learning to understand what it means that Christ himself lives in you and desires to live through you, to be a blessing to the community around you. And that's your family, that's your neighborhood, that's your coworkers, that's everybody. So the first part of everything that I'm trying to do with that particular outreach ministry is to teach people what that really looks like and how to bring it online in their lives day after day after day. Toward that end, one of the resources I've created is a daily devotional podcast. It comes out every morning at like 5 a.m. Mountain Time. Mm-hmm. And it's just a normal podcast, but it's a 5-minute daily devotional trying to help us get our mind right. It's called The Morning Mindset. And so it's trying to help Christians remember who you are in Christ and what your calling is and what you're supposed to be about today. Because I think too often we wake up in the morning and our feet hit the floor, we jump on our smartphone, and we're putting out fires almost immediately.
Yeah.
Or getting sucked into the social media swamp, you know, and rather than being intentional in our own mindset, the stewardship of our own thinking toward kingdom purposes. And so that's the live part. The morning mindset's one way that I'm trying to spur people in that direction. The build part is, first of all, helping people get their mind around the fact that income and revenue can be generated in new ways these days that it used to not be possible.
Right.
Just for example, my entire business, Podcast Fast Track, is online. Everything is online. I don't have an office I go to. I don't have a group of people who come to a central location and we work on projects together. My entire team of 15 people is distributed across the world.
Oh, praise God.
It's a different era that we live in. Mm. And people who are working full-time jobs or who have no job have very real opportunities that are not scams to build businesses and sources of income online. So when I say build a business, I'm talking about those kinds of things, figuring out ways to generate additional income for yourself initially, maybe for your family to help you meet bills or pay off medical bills or whatever, so that living your faith genuinely and operating that side business or full-time business, you can then change the world, which begins with your world, the people around you. I mean, one of the dreams I have, which really got spawned from an event that happened here in our community, is I'll tell you the story and then tell you what my dream is. The story is that this young family in our community, who's very dearly loved by everyone that knows them, lost their four-year-old son. Just kind of rapidly, unexplained, just he got sick and within weeks was dead.
Wow.
I was so burdened by that. I just knew the grief they must be going through.
Yeah.
And my business was just starting to catch, you know, wind in the sails at that time, and it wasn't generating a lot of revenue, but it felt like what the Lord put in my mind as a dream for where I'm headed with this business and with Live, Build, Change is to come across situations like that in my everyday life and be willing and able to go down to the hospital where all of the tragedy happened and pay their bill anonymously. Just be able to do that. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing?
Yeah. Amen. Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We are all out of time for today's episode of the Kingdom Crossroads podcast. Kerry Green has been giving us some great take it to the bank type of tips. And, you know, we need to support faith-based businesses like this. If you have a podcast, a blog, anything like that, an online marketing business, and you need it promoted, you need to get the word out about it, you need to look up Podcast Fast Track. You need to contact Kerry Green and see what they can do to help you, because we need to support each other in this day and this time, right? Now, come back tomorrow, because we're jumping right back into this interview. We got a lot more information to cover, and folks, you need to catch part two. Till then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcast. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.